episode 107, Paying Off Debt in Your 40s with Bobby Olson.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
My name is Jill.
And we are coming at you on the web, in your ears, in front of your eyes, and
wherever you'll let us.
Yes, wherever you will let us. And we've got a very, very requested episode for you today. Because some of y'all are sick of hearing us interview 20-year-olds about how they paid off their debt.
What? Why wouldn't you want to hear wisdom from 20-year-olds?
Why not? I don't understand. Everyone was requesting maybe we get some people who are a little further along in age than, you know, 25. So Bobby Olson, our friend from the Sensible Chat podcast, is here. And she started when she was 40.
Which is not old.
Which is not old.
But it's not 25.
Correct.
One of these is a bigger number than the other.
And that is, we're giving you variety. Yeah. That's what we got for you.
Let's do it. We're not going to delay.
Yeah.
Oh, but first, our sponsors. So we've got Current, which is a mobile bank with some awesome user interface, no overdraft fees, no minimum balance requirements. Its app has a free built-in budgeting tool that gives you purchase notifications and insight into your spending. Premium users can even break up their savings account into different pods, which is super helpful if you're saving for multiple things at once. And when you set up direct deposit, you can get paid up to 2 days early. So if you're looking for another bank account to hold your emergency fund or something big you're saving for, then definitely check out Current, because they are giving away $10 to the first 10 people who sign up using our promo code FrugalFriends for each episode. So yes, you heard that correctly. It is $10 to the first 10 people who sign up on every episode. So you can be listening to this thinking, oh, that's just in general. Nope. It's this episode.
Just this episode.
This one right now. This one in your ears,
yeah.
In your brain.
All four episodes that Current is a sponsor for us.
Yeah. So Frugal Friends, all one word.
That's
use that promo code. You might get $10.
Yes. This episode is also brought to you by the number 31. It's not just a multi-level marketing company or the name of a carnival-themed horror movie. It's the age I'm turning tomorrow. And the age Jill will be turning in a few months.
Hey, don't give that kind of information away.
Sorry. 31 years we've experienced Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake wearing matching denim outfits, highlight of my life. The door in the Titanic movie that was definitely big enough for two people, outrage of my life. And a global pandemic, which is just another Tuesday. 31. Too old for TikTok, not old enough to watch the Hallmark movie channel.
I don't even know what to say. There's so many things I want to say and like nothing all at the same time. How did you pick those things? They're so obscure, but they're so amazing.
Because what else would you pick?
Too old for TikTok, not old enough for Hallmark movie channel. Mm-hmm. Gosh, what is there for us even?
Right?
What do we have?
If you're in your mid-30s, like tell me what there even is to look forward to, because I feel like my best days are behind me.
No, they're definitely not. If you're equating best days to TikTok, you're on the wrong track.
I don't know. Like TikTok looks, I mean, all the kids love it. Gosh, I know people in their 30s who love it. And
We've got the Hallmark movie channel to look forward to. That's where we're headed.
I'm actually looking forward to this interview, and it makes me believe that my best days are ahead of me, because Bobby Olson is such a powerhouse. She's such a fun girl. I mean, girl, she's a woman. My gosh, I'm still a girl. And I'm super excited to share this episode with you guys. Even if you're not in your 40s, you're going to be super inspired by the step path journey because it's so real. And you're going to take home some real good tips.
Let's do it.
Bobby, welcome to the Frugal Friends podcast. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Oh, thanks for having me, you guys. I'm excited.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having this conversation with you and hearing another story. I know this is a listener favorite to hear about debt payoff stories and get motivated and inspired and hear about how you paid off your debt in the life stage that you're in. So we're excited to get into it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So let's dive right in, Bobby. We want to talk about your debt payoff story and hear a little bit about what motivated you to start on that journey.
Well, I was in a job that I was miserable in. I dreaded going every day, did not want to be there at all. And I was working so hard to try to change jobs, but I couldn't find anything that was comparable to what I was being paid. And we're in a one income family. So I got to make that income. And since we were so far in debt, I couldn't afford to take a pay cut. Like I was sitting there going, I would take a pay cut in a heartbeat. But because of all the debt, I couldn't do it. So, you know, I had come from a place where kind of all my life I had felt like this is just the way it is. You're always going to be poor. You can't do anything to change it. So just accept it. But at this point, I was like, I'm done. I can't take it anymore because I want out of this job so bad. I'll do anything. So I, that's what motivated me to want to find a change. But I didn't really know that it was possible. And I found a personal finance book and I started reading it actually just so that I could say I tried, but I'm a cynic and I didn't think it was going to work. And I got lucky, it worked and woohoo, it changed my life.
That's amazing. Yes. I'm doing this just so I can check off this box. So it sounds like you wanted to leave your job, but the debt was the barrier to leaving. Yep. The
absolutely.
Job.
Yeah.
Oh man, feeling stuck is the worst.
Yeah. It felt like financial prison, you know? It was just miserable and I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Working that job just because of the debt that you have. Yeah. So it's our understanding that you started your debt payoff journey a little bit later in life. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I was 40 when I started and my husband and I had had a business that failed. And so, you know, I felt like I'm 40 years old. I've had this failed business. I'm in this job, but my career is not going anywhere. I hate where I'm at. I'm in debt. I don't have much put away for retirement. Where am I going? Like I'm 40 years old and I have nothing. I've been working since I was 14 and I have nothing but debt to show for it. This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're not alone in that feeling. There's plenty of people who, it's a paycheck to paycheck kind of thing, or it's using credit cards to kind of pay for the things that we want. Mm-hmm. Was that discouraging at all for you to be 40 and feel as though, as you say, I've got nothing to show for this? Like how did that play into motivation for you?
Well, it was discouraging to look at my life and see where I was and that I wasn't anywhere near where I wanted to be, but it was also motivating because I thought, okay, I'm 40 and I'm not anywhere near where I want to be. So if I want to do something, I better start now. Like I need to light a fire and do something because I don't want to waste the rest of my life. So it was actually a huge motivator for me to get started and keep going.
Yeah. You can look back and think, oh man, this is only how far I've come since 14. But you could also look forward and say, and this is not where I want to be when I'm 75.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that same thing can work both sides of being discouraging, but also super motivating to say, well, and I still have decades.
Yeah.
So what do I want to do with that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I actually, now that you mentioned it, I hadn't really thought about this before, but I had been watching my mom and she, you know, worked her whole life, but doesn't have anything to show for it. And she's got a really rough retirement because she didn't save and she didn't do those things. And so that was part of it also. I'm looking at her and thinking, I don't want to be there. Like she has no options now and I still have time, but it's running out. So if I don't do something now, I'm going to end up without those options. And I don't want to, I'm afraid for her and I don't want to be afraid for myself on top of it.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. How much debt did you pay off and what was it made up of?
It was about $60,000, and it was made up of mostly credit card debt that had come from the business. I was never a person to like go out and buy clothes or fancy vacations I couldn't afford, but when it came to the business, I could justify any expense under the sun, you know? And we made the typical mistake that you make in business. You buy too much equipment and all those kind of things. So we had a lot of debt from the business. And then we also had medical debt because my husband has some disabilities. And so we had gone through some major surgeries as well. So between those two, that's what it was made up of.
Yeah. Yeah. The business debt, I think you're highlighting something so important. I think it is a big pitfall. And especially you've got this whole financial advice strain of it's a write-off. It's actually better in your favor to do this.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, that doesn't make it free.
Right.
Write-off does not mean free, but we still, it's a bit more acceptable debt. But as you're describing, the weight of it on you and the financial prison that can put us in is the same. Absolutely. Whether it's credit card or medical or college or business loans, you name it, the weight of it and the impact on us is the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bobby, when you were paying off this debt, did you experience any like difficulties that were kind of unique to where you were in life?
Well, the difficulties that I experienced just being older, basically, the first one is that when I was in my 20s, I worked four jobs at once and it was no big deal. I actually, you know, I had like an unspoken bet going with one of my coworkers for who could hold down the most jobs. You know? And I'm not sure who won, but I had four at once. So
how do you win that?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody wins in that because some days I didn't even know what freeway I was going on or where I was, you know, it got to be too much. But you know, when you're in your 20s, you have the energy to do that. And unfortunately I did that, but I didn't save any of the money. So now fast forward to when I'm in my 40s, I just don't have the energy to work four jobs anymore. And you know, if I had had that energy, then I could use that extra money to pay off debt. And so that was part of it, that I wasn't as willing to take on more jobs that could create more income to do it faster. And also, you know, when you're older, you have more responsibilities. When you're in your 20s, maybe you're not married, you know, you don't have thankfully I don't have kids. I mean, not thankfully, but I don't have kids. So I don't have, you know, those obligations, but you still have obligations when you're married. You have to take someone else into consideration with how you're spending your money. So from that standpoint, you know, it was a bit unique because you don't have as much control solely over, you know, how you're going to do it. You have to work with somebody else.
Yeah. So. And you were still single income like during this, right?
Yeah.
That's its own difficulties.
Yeah. That was really hard, especially living in Southern California, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That makes things really, really tight. But so we had to be really committed. But that's the flip side, is that being with somebody else, you know, had somebody to keep you strong in those moments of weakness.
Yeah, I think you're highlighting a really specific thing that I think older generations will experience in a debt payoff journey, as far as just energy levels go and capacity and even desire. You know, there's probably other things you want to do with your time than get 20 side hustles.
Right.
And so with that said, what are some of the things that you did to pay down your debt? How did you approach it at that point?
Well, the first thing I did, because like I said, I read Ellie Kay's book, The 60-Minute Money Workout, and she was talking about the debt snowball method, which was something I had never heard of. And I just latched onto that and ran from there. And the idea of that excited me so much that I just started reading about all these different things, all these different ways. So between the debt snowball and creating a budget and sticking to it, those were really the main things that got me out of debt. But that plan, you know, was made up of what do I spend on each thing, just being really intentional about how we were going to spend our money and cutting out as many frivolities as we could without completely cutting our throats, because we found out real quick that didn't completely work, you know. It's like a crash diet. You fall off the wagon and just go way too far to the other side.
Similar to maintaining four jobs at once. It only lasts for so long.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't maintain that forever. So So that was basically the two biggest things that I did was budgeting and using the debt snowball method.
Isn't that amazing? Budgeting just seems like
the most answer.
Basic thing ever. I have been saying, I think since like for the past 10 episodes straight, just like, if you haven't budgeted yet, you need to budget. You need to budget every episode. You need to budget. And it's so amazing to realize that is so much of it. We think, no, I'm doing fine. I don't spend a lot, or that's not the answer. Yeah. That's not what it is, but yet you're saying that's what it was. That was the big pivot point, is just, what am I spending on?
Yeah, because before I did that, I had no clue. I thought I knew, you know, most of us think we know, but it's such a different picture when you actually sit down to look at it. I've never heard from anybody, yeah, this is what I thought. You know, it's always a surprise. And a lot of times it's a good surprise. So people spend all this time not wanting to do it because they're stressed about it or whatever, but for me, it was so exciting to see, oh my gosh, this really is possible. Like right when I had that moment of hope, then it was like, I was off to the races. That's really all I ever needed. You know, I just didn't know it.
Yeah, that's an amazing point. Sometimes we think we're going to look at our budget and we're going to be so depressed. But yeah, a lot of times there's money that we might be able to find. I know that's not everybody's circumstances, sure, but it could go either direction where, mm-hmm, oh, actually, I'm spending more in this area and I can absolutely cut, or there is more than I thought that there was, but it ends up just getting spent if I'm not paying attention to it.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm.
This isn't a question on our outline, but I really want to know, is there a moment like from your debt-free journey that really sticks out to you as being like either like super positive or just like super sad? I have a few of those on my debt-free journey. So I was just wondering if you like have a really memorable moment from yours.
Well, the really memorable moment was when we paid off the car and when we paid off our last credit card, because then it was like, we're debt free. Woohoo. And I remember, because I was going to do it from work, I was just going to, you know, log on to my thing and pay it off. But I thought, no, I'm going to call Scott and see if he wants me to wait to be with, because it was such a huge moment for me. It was like, I don't want to take that away from him, you know? And he was mm-hmm. like, just pay it. I don't care. But for me, I would have been so angry if he'd done it without me, because I wanted that moment. It was so special to me. And then there was a time that made me cry. It wasn't sad. I was happy, but I just started crying because we had a $5,000 in the middle of this, you know, trying to pay off all this debt. Then we had this $5,000 medical bill, and it was like, come on already, you know, do I have to deal with anything else? And we had gone for financial aid, and we were waiting and waiting, and the communications kept getting crossed, and we were afraid we were going to end up in collections because they told us not to pay it until everything was clear, but it was such a mess. And finally, we got word that the financial aid had come through and it was all covered and it was over. And I just fell to my knees and started crying. And I was just so thankful. That was a really amazing moment in our journey, because mm-hmm. I knew that that was at least part that was settled now and I didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Do you think you would have fought as hard for that financial aid if you hadn't been so aware of your finances and so committed to getting out of debt?
No, not at all. I wouldn't have even known that that was possible. I mean, that was the whole thing. Like, I was never taught any of these resources existed. You know, it was just like, there's nothing you can do about it. Just deal with it. That was what was non-verbally put in my head, you know, through as a kid. And that's what I believed through my adult life. And so that was the freedom, was beyond budgeting and beyond being able to control my own finances. There were so many options. No matter what came up, it was like, now I'm confident that I can take on any financial glitch that comes my way. I may not mm-hmm. have the money in front of me, but I have the tools and resources and the way to think strategically about it.
Yes.
Wow. Awesome. Ooh, I like that. What even this journey has built inside of you, even if you can live with your debt, even as an exercise in understanding finances more and creating habits that will last you for life. It's a good thing to do.
Yeah, it's just so freeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are you doing now, Bobby, that maybe would not have been possible while you were living in debt?
Well, the first thing is living intentionally instead of reactively, because it used to always be like, put out the fire, put out the fire, put out the fire. And you're always thinking, okay, where's the next fire? But you're not going, all right, brace yourself for the next fire. Here's what we're going to do. It's more like, where's the next fire? Oh my God, you know? And so now I'm like, bring it on, because I can plan for it. The money that I used to spend towards debt goes to, you know, just being able to save for the future, but also being able to save for a car repair. You know, I mean, even a $500 car repair used to just put me into complete turmoil. And now it's like, yeah, I don't like to spend the money on my car like that, but at least I have it. It's not stressful anymore. So those kind of things I never could have done while being in debt. And the other thing is just having the options, you know, there's the option to have more fun or think about more fun things than just how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to pay the bills? You know? So yeah, just that living intentionally instead of reactively has been the biggest one for me. Definitely.
Mm. Yeah. Another question that's not on our list, but I'm curious about, were you and your husband both on the same page when you kind of read your book? Like, to me, that's standing out as the pivotal moment of, yeah, I'm going to read this book. I don't expect anything, but I'm going to check it off and say I tried. But then it switched mindset. Where was he at in that process?
He was, it was funny because, yeah, like you said, I was the one who read the book. I was the one who was really stressed out about it. I mean, he felt sorry for me, but you know, it wasn't the same feeling for him. And so, yeah, when I read the book, I just ran down the hall and I was like so excited with this book. I ran down the hall. I spent like half the day on the computer crunching numbers, just trying to prove her wrong. Like, I was really intense that this was, but because I was excited, but I'm like cynic, you know, so right. I don't want to believe in it, but yeah. And then I couldn't prove her wrong. And I was like, oh, this is so exciting. And so I brought it to him, and his whole thing throughout the way has just kind of been, you're a weirdo. I don't know why this excites you so much, but I'm totally behind you. So do whatever you want.
Do what you want. You're excited, okay. Clearly. Yeah. Your books and your computer crunching.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's so, you know, he's been like, this is great. And you've done such a great job and everything. So he was totally on board, like supportive of it. And, you know, I trust you with the money. So you just tell me what we need to do and that's fine. But yeah, it's just, it always cracks him up how much, I mean, I'm the last person that would have been obsessive or loving personal finance and budgeting like 10 years ago. But now it's like, oh, I just love it. And he just laughs at me. So
isn't that crazy that sometimes people will feel guilty for not starting earlier, but then alternatively, like sometimes it takes you to getting to this right season at the right time to actually fall in love with this sort of thing, not just get through it. Yeah. So it's so like important, the places we are in our life that we're starting right when we're supposed to, whatever we're doing. And I hope that that like lifts maybe some guilt from somebody that might be hearing this. And just like encourages a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, the guilt is, you know, the hardest part about that. And I encourage everybody to just, you know, try to set that aside. I know it's hard, but you know, I mean, you can either feel guilty about from whence you've come and focus on that and do nothing, or let it go and just start here. I mean, the time's going to pass anyway. So, you know, make better use of it and you're going to love yourself more for it later on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I actually was started in financial radio. Radio is my background. And I've been, I started in radio in like 25 years ago. And my first job was at a financial radio station. And so through all the years, I've gone back into that. And most of my time has been spent there. And yet I hated all of this stuff until like 10 years ago or 8 years ago or whatever it's been. I don't even know. And so, I mean, I was listening to it. It's not like it wasn't there, but I just tuned it out because I thought it was only for the rich, you know?
Yep.
And so, you know, even if you've heard this stuff, but never globbed onto it, like you said, there just comes a moment where it's the right time. And maybe all that stuff in the past was just meant to be there so that I could have it in my arsenal when I was ready to actually use it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. When you were able to implement the tools and it actually meant something and you were ready to not be cynical or critical about it. Right. Not that 40's old. My goodness.
I know. I keep thinking
not be old. Like I have to say that.
Like right.
Those words cannot come out of my mouth because I'm in a pickle pretty soon. 40s old.
Right. I'm officially closer to 40 years old than I am to 20 years old.
Yes. So that's the perfect age to start a debt payoff
journey. I feel that it's great.
Yeah. Yes. But I think it is true that there are different life stages that we're all in. And I think our point is at any life stage, younger than 40, older than 40, it's never too late to start. Certainly the later in life that we do start, there's the possibility that we've built up and accumulated quite a few bad habits, maybe some good habits too. So, you know, the journey is absolutely going to look different, but age should not be an excuse to doing what we need to do to get our budgets in order, our lives on track, to be able to get at the life that we want for ourselves. For you, Bobby, it was getting out of a job that you hated, and this is what it took. So fantastic. Well done. Oh, also, we didn't even mention, how many years did it take you?
It took me about 5 years total. Nice. We started out, you know, doing certain things, learning along the way, other things coming into play. Mm-hmm. And excuse me, when we finally got really gazelle intense, it was probably 2.5 years and really paid off a big bulk of it in that. But the whole process took about 5 years.
Thank you, Bobby. My goodness, that is real life. Like, that's an absolute real story. $60,000, 5 years on a single income in your 40s. Living in Southern California. Thank you. And again, everybody's story is different, right? There are people who are like, six figures in 18 months. That's awesome.
Good for you.
I'm so excited for them. But like, let's also talk real life stories too, because there are a lot of people starting in their 40s, 50s, 60s. There's a lot of people on single income. There's a lot of people on less than six figure debt, and it still takes years.
Yeah.
So yes, thank you. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
I hope people that are like in their 50s and late 50s are listening to this and hearing 5 years, which sounds like forever. But if you like, you understand, if you could be debt-free in 5 years, you will be debt-free before you hit retirement age.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about how you're going to pay debt bills after you retire. And you can retire earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy. And it's just 5 years of your life. And maybe even quicker if you get on it fast enough. It was going to take us 5 years to pay off our debt. And, you know, but we were in our late 20s. So I did get four jobs. And it
would have and shingles.
Yeah. And shingles. let's remember, I also gave myself shingles.
Oh, wow.
The stress. So I don't recommend that anymore. And I think budgeting and cutting expenses is a far more sustainable route. So it is doable, even if you can't get extra jobs, even if you can't work four jobs, it's doable.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's always a way. You have to want it. And I mean, for me, it was always, 5 years seemed like a long time, but at the same time, you know, you're bettering your life every single day. And for me, a lot of times just getting through the day meant looking at my plan and having that light at the end of the tunnel, because I knew the date that I was going to be debt free. And so that was huge to just be able to look at that when I didn't want to go to this stupid job again. And I wanted to go out and do this, or I wanted to go out and do that. But what's really more important, like, how much, you know, am I willing to put out of my pocket in order to have to stay at this job even longer? So that was really super motivating.
Wow. Thank you. Speaking of motivating things,
there's something that motivates me.
Exciting.
Yeah.
It's the bill of the week.
It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, buffalo bills, Bill Clinton. This is the bill of the week.
Bobby, every week we invite our listeners or our guests on to share their favorite bill with us. And I would just like to know, do you have a bill for us today?
I do. My favorite bill is actually one I don't have to pay. Woohoo! At least not for another year. Yay! It's my auto insurance bill. And it used to be so tough for me. I was paying it monthly, you know, because I couldn't afford to pay it all at once. And it's a lot of money up front. And now I'm able to put that money when the bill comes, I just pay off the whole thing. So I don't get the bill for an entire year. And it's so freeing because that used to be such a hard bill for me to pay. So.
And do you get a discount for paying it all up front?
Yeah, 3% discount. Yeah, so it's a win-win.
Yep, it's 3%, but I'll take it. You hand me $10, I'm going to take it.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to take it from you. Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do with $10?
Yeah.
Probably buy a burrito.
Buy a sandwich.
I'd rather have a burrito.
Or a hamburger.
Yeah. I'll buy either one of those. I don't care.
That's all you can do with $10 these days.
Yeah, that's true. It's not even going to be a really great hamburger. It's just going to be like a combo meal from Wendy's.
Right.
So,
I mean,
but
you probably could buy a shirt, but I'll choose the food.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks so much, Bobby. If you have a bill that you want to send to us, then hit up frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill. We are always looking to discover new bills, whether they are tangible, intangible, living, or on paper.
Well said.
I like that.
And now it's time for
the lightning round. One day we are going to get lightning backgrounds because we're recording in Zoom right now, which is how we are doing this now that Jillian has left me.
Which is how all the world is communicating right now. Right?
No kidding.
Yes. But I'm going to find lightning for our lightning round segment so that we can have
You're
that.
You're giving it away.
I want people to know what they can expect if they see us on YouTube. Like, I'm enticing them by giving it away.
Obviously, big things.
Yeah, big things. If you haven't seen the Bill of the Week song, the YouTube version, you haven't lived.
Yeah, go on YouTube.
I hadn't
lived. Subscribe button while you're at it.
Yeah.
All right.
I had not lived.
We digress.
Yes.
In this lightning round, we are going to talk about our favorite budgeting apps and or budgeting methods.
Mm-hmm.
Bow, bow, bow.
Because budgeting is so important, especially when you can't get a million side hustles. Uh-huh. You have to be super major on top of your budget, major on top of it.
And if you haven't heard us talk about it enough already, here's some more motivation for you. Here's some apps, here's some methods, here's some ideas, and then go budget. All right, Bobby, you're our guest of honor. You can go first.
I love YNAB. Hands down, YNAB is my favorite budgeting app of all time.
I love your
passion. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. It's what gave me the passion for budgeting. It's what taught me a whole different mindset. I love everything about YNAB, and I totally recommend it.
Yeah.
What do you like about it?
It's You Need a Budget, for people who don't know. That's the acronym that like YNAB fangirls call it.
Right. You need a budget for sure. And the thing that I love about it is, first of all, it's zero-based. So I mean, that's what I teach is a zero-based budgeting system. But I love it because it came along at a time in my life where I had been using Dave Ramsey's cash envelope method, which worked well, except for the fact that I kept forgetting to take my envelopes with me, you know, to the store or whatever. And so then what do you do? So I wanted a digital cash envelope system. So I started going online and I found YNAB, and it was perfect for that. So it just gives you such an easy way to categorize all the money that's in your account today. And it's a whole different method of budgeting or mindset about budgeting, because it's not, you know, the money that's coming up, that's your spending plan. That's how you plan to spend it. But what's actually in your bank account today is what you're budgeting in YNAB.
That's the reality.
Exactly. And that's what's so powerful about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you go on that app daily, weekly?
What I used to. Yeah, I used to go, like, it feels like it was hourly at one point. But I'm on there probably a couple of times a week. And yeah, I love playing with it and everything, but I'm on there at least once a week. And actually, yeah, I would say it's daily because we use it. I use the app when I'm out. Like if I go to the grocery store, once I get in the car, I just, you know, enter my transaction right there. So I never have a pile of receipts that I have to spend an hour entering into, you know, into YNAB.
That's smart to do, track your transactions as soon as you make them. Just take the 5 seconds that it takes to do that.
Exactly. Because that's one of the biggest things. People don't want to sit there and enter all their stuff. And it takes an hour to, you know, reconcile your bank account, basically. But yeah, if you do it every time you go shopping and it takes, like you said, less than a minute and then you're done and it's always up to date. And then you always know exactly how much money you have every time you go to spend.
Yeah. Nice. We've talked about that before, like the obsession that can start set in when, when you're on this journey. And it's like, I gotta check it. I gotta look at it. Like, I always have to like restrain myself from how many times I want to look at the accounts. And the I'm not even like a financial nerd. It turns you into one though. So beware. It does.
I know. And that's why I started actually being a budget coach, is because I actually went on Facebook and said, I am obsessed with YNAB and I can't stop using it, but there's nothing else for me to do in it. Please let me play with your numbers.
That's amazing. That's how it started. I get that feeling. I'm like, there's nothing else to do, but like, I want to keep doing, I want to keep like inputting stuff.
I know people that love budgets so much. They do that. I personally have a love-hate relationship with budgets. It's like closer on the side of hate. And so people will ask me, hey, can you like do some budget coaching with me? And I'm like, I don't do that. I barely do it for myself. I can barely coach myself.
That's funny.
My budget.
So, that's awesome. Oh, well, I love how much you love YNAB. You need a budget. A lot of people do. So
It has a cult following. When we say it has a cult following, like that is not a joke.
It's not a joke. And you know, it's bittersweet for me because I have applied to work with them 4 times and I keep getting denied. And I know part of it is because there's so many people that want to work for one.
Yeah.
So true.
Well, you're spreading their message well. Good job.
Yes. Jill, what about you?
I'm not nearly as high tech, guys. It's Google spreadsheets all the way for me. Like I was going to look up like what's a good budgeting app and I'll just like tell the podcast about it, but I'm being authentic with you all. I use Google spreadsheets. It's where I'm at. I'm old school. I love it. I enjoy the process of like inputting my budget and being so connected with the numbers. And I do my budget on my pay weeks. So every 2 weeks is when I take a look. I budget my bills to my pay periods. I input it into the spreadsheet, do some different calculations with it. And I will say, I crunch the numbers. I don't
crunch.
I make a sound when I do it. I started that way because both my husband and I are independent contractors. So we don't, and even still, we are. Thankfully, we get paid every 2 weeks, which that's new for us. Usually it was just like whenever somebody felt like paying us for building them a house. Anyhow, that's another story. Right now we do. We get paid every 2 weeks, but it's not the same every 2 weeks. So for me, I've had to be extra involved with my budget, with our finances to kind of know exactly where we're at. So that's been the best method for me with just how we get paid, the amount of money that we make every 2 weeks, every month, just to be super on top of it. So I do use a computer, but it's a spreadsheet, not an app.
Yes.
Real life.
Yeah. I mean, I do my accounting in a Google sheet. I have an accounting software and I still choose to do it on a spreadsheet because it's easier to see everything.
Yeah. It's my system.
I know.
You know, because I do it best and everybody needs to do my system.
Right.
that's really important though. Whatever works best for you, you know, that's what you got to do.
What about you, Jen?
I like the Every Dollar app. So I do enjoy zero-based budgets. I think that they are great. So the Every Dollar app I've found is the easiest free app to bake a zero-based budget. And I am all for manual tracking of transactions. I wish that I could do automatic tracking because I hate tracking it manually, but it's the manual transaction that keeps me accountable for my spending. And so that, I mean, it's in this one of the lists, one of the items on the list of why I like love/hate budgeting. I don't enjoy it, but I do it. And I'm horrible at sticking to a budget. And so I use Every Dollar and I don't always stay current on it, but we've built this like lifestyle of frugality so that we don't spend a lot of money. We don't do a lot of things and what we do is free. And so we don't generally break our budget, but unless it's going out to eat, sometimes we will on that. But when I make my budget, I'll make it in Every Dollar and then I'll spend those few hours reconciling it like you're not supposed to do. And but I don't have any major financial goals I'm trying to reach right now. So that doesn't motivate me to budget as strictly. So that's kind of, and we have more money than we need coming in right now. So that's kind of like where I'm at. So, but Every Dollar, I love Every Dollar. Nice. It's such a great user interface. So lovely.
That's amazing.
It's a joy to use.
Nice. Bobby, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us and sharing with us your real debt payoff story. I know it's going to inspire so many people and normalize and validate where so many people are at. So thank you for doing that. If people want more from you, where can they find you?
They can go to sensiblechat.com, and everybody spells it wrong because for some reason, my husband came up with the name and he always comes up with creative names that are like hard to find because they're just spelled weird. I don't know what it is about him.
When you see it, it makes sense.
LOL. So it's sense, like dollars and cents, sense able. So think of it that way, sense able. So it's sensiblechat.com.
That's a great name.
I do like
it. Honestly, yeah. Good. Kudos to your husband.
Thank you. Yeah, I kind of like it. I think I'll keep him around for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Why did it take us so long?
I don't know. That's a good...
We did it when we were ready.
Yeah, we did it when we were ready. That's so true. Yeah. You should never feel guilt over what you haven't done before.
Yeah.
But only for the things
now,
don't do,
and what you can control now.
Yeah,
was that confusing?
That is better. No, that's okay. What you said was better.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening.
So glad to have these debt payoff stories. Mm-hmm. We'll bring more at you. But in the meantime, we also want to thank you for listening. We want to thank you for your kind reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. Those of you who are kind, thank you. Yes. This one, we want to give an example of kindness, because sometimes we get confused. It can be so confusing. Like, what's kind and what's mean? Here you go.
2020 has shown us that in spades.
Yes. So this one comes from Sydney Jan 3. It's titled Adulting. It happens to be 5 stars. That's one way to be kind. It says, this podcast helped me tackle my transition into getting my first place with my fiance and on track for buying our first home at 22. Ooh. Oh my goodness. I appreciate their humor and how they give advice that is so doable. They make me feel like I have a super cool older sisters. And every time my fiance calls from deployment, I tell him about all the cool tricks I learned so we can save more money. He can't wait to listen when he gets home.
Oh, yay!
Oh, my heart is literally warm right now, even though it's 40 degrees outside. Thanks, Sydney.
I love it.
I particularly love it when people describe us as their older sisters. It's one of my favorites.
It is. Yeah, it's your favorite.
And it also reminds me that I'm getting older. Hallmark Channel.
You're not even 31 yet.
Neither are you.
I mean,
not yet.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
It'll be good. I'll have my private birthday party. I'm having a private birthday party, you guys. It's just at home, like nobody's invited. Even if you wanted to come, you couldn't.
It's private. It makes it sound like really hot, like high end and bougie, but really
it is.
It's just what you have a baby. So,
I mean, also I anticipate we'll still be in like semi-quarantine.
That's true.
So, yeah. But right. Like, that's not it. Even if we weren't in semi-quarantine,
it's still just private.
Yeah. It's just private. We also want to thank our friends who share these episodes on social media, because where else are you going to share it right now? You can't go anywhere. So go ahead and share this episode on Instagram or Facebook. Tag us at Frugal Friends Podcast. And in June, we'll do a drawing for $10 Amazon gift cards. We're going to give one away for every 5 tags and reviews we get.
So definitely keep leaving us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, because that is another way to enter into this drawing. Send us a screenshot of your review to frugalfriendspodcast@gmail.com. Also tag us on social. All these ways are ways to enter into our $10 Amazon gift card drawing.
Yes. So until next week, when I will be a little older.
And a little wiser.
A little wiser. Not a lot, just a little.
Just a little.
See you then.
A little more funny.
Bye. A little. Maybe.
Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni.
I'm expecting you to be funnier.
That's a lot of pressure.
Okay. Well, what are your hopes for 31?
I would like to be a more involved mother. Well, I feel like
that's what somebody says who has like 5 kids and they're all like involved in sports. You've got a 1-year-old. What does that mean?
Well, I feel like involved? The first year was just keeping him alive.
Yeah.
And now he's like an actual small child that I can do stuff with, and he knows who I am. And like, so now it's worth being involved. Is that bad?
No. Yeah. That's a great aspiration. How are you going to be involved? What are you going to do?
I'm going to take him places.
Okay.
So that he can learn stuff and have fun experiences. Like in his first year, he didn't care about anything.
Right.
But now he cares about stuff like Mickey Mouse. Super into the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. But granted, that's the only show we can watch with him and like not blow our brains out. So it's the only one we show him, but he has good taste because he likes it too.
Good.
Yeah. It's the only one that keeps his attention. And I appreciate that.
Nice. I'm realizing I did not hit the record button.
For your audio?
Zoom audio for me too.